Precious and Holy Father, we bless you and thank you that we are a prophetic people. We are vessels of fulfillment. It is your purpose to fulfill in each one of our lives a growing abundance that is of the fullness of Jesus Christ. We are vessels that are called to receive, realize, and express the fulfillment potentials of your holy will, Father. We are called to receive and realize what your word has given to us by the Spirit in Jesus' name. We pray that this word will be expounded in our hearts in the spirit and life of Jesus, in the faith and love of Jesus, in the character and nature of Jesus, in the witness and testimony of Jesus, so that we will become the people you want us to be. Create in us that clean heart. Create in us that heart that will pant after thee, O God, as the deer panteth after the water brooks, Lord. So, Father God, we commit ourselves to you, asking that you build in us the prophetic, O God, that will enable us to grow as you want us to grow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14 and 15. Today's message is entitled, The Essence of the Prophetic. The heart of why I read the scriptures and I spend time searching the scriptures is because the scriptures have a fulfillment potential. That's why I'm excited about the scriptures. That's why I teach the scriptures with a passion in my heart. Because the scriptures stand forever, and the scriptures, the word that God brings into your heart and my heart, have the potential of fulfillment in eternity. Nothing else that we know stands the test of time. That is our experience. But everything that God has the intent of bringing into us through the word is designed for eternity. It is designed to bring forth the abiding. It is designed to manifest that which will stand forever. So in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14 and 15, God describes the intimacy of the prophetic word. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, and death and adversity. So there's nothing more real to us than God's design of the word of God. That if we are receiving the word of God, it should be in our hearts, it should be in our mouth, and it should be continuously observed. So if you watch what comes out of your mouth and see what comes out of it, it will tell you what is occupying your heart. As God continues to change us, as God continues to bring change and transformation in our lives, it will always be demonstrated in the way we speak. And what we say will demonstrate what we believe in. What we say will demonstrate what it is we really worship. What we say will demonstrate what really turns us on. What is it we really live by? What is it we really swear our lives by? So as you speak, you can see what it is that governs you. So make sure that your words flow in the reality of God's word. And every time you see that there are things that come out of you that are not right, take it to the Lord and address it immediately. Lord, I should not have said that. I said that because of jealousy, because of selfish intentions. I said that because of the arrogance and pridefulness of my ways. I said that because I hate that person. I said that because I have this desire to destroy that person. I said that because the intents of my heart are dishonest. Oh God, save me by your name and vindicate me by your power. God loved David because David was always willing to address himself before God. David was always undressed before God. He had no qualms about admitting who he really was. And for that reason, God loved him. God didn't love him because he was a sinless man. God loved him because he was willing to come to God to address his problems. And that is the key to successful Christian living and growth. If you are willing to address your weaknesses before God, God will bless you. God will change you. Only God can save you. Nobody else can do it. But you must address those areas that need the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that need the saving power of the Holy Spirit, that need the power of the Father's will to manifest. So what is the essence of the prophetic? We are a prophetic people. We are equipped to be a prophetic people. Every one of us has the capacity to be prophetic. In introducing the prophetic, we said that there are three streams of reality that we should measure in our hearts. And the verse of scripture that expresses that is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 3. But the one who prophesies, prophesying is just spontaneously speaking, all right? Speaks to men for edification, which means to build. For exhortation, which is to encourage. Consolation, which means to heal. So there are three streams in which God wants us to develop our capacity to speak the word of God. To edify with the intent of building people. To exhort with the intent of encouraging people. And to console with the intent of healing. Sowing healing, bringing healing into the spheres of our influence. Whether they are small spheres of influence, whether they are great spheres of influence. Don't despise the day of small beginnings, says the Lord. So today I want to talk about the essence of the prophetic, because today I believe the prophetic in general seems to be in a shambles. So often when we hear people prophesy, we don't know whether it is of God or whether it's of the person, or whether it's of some kind of other spirit. There are two kinds of dangers. First, the person speaking sometimes does not know whether he's speaking of God or not. The second is the person hearing does not know whether it is of God or not. So today I want to talk about the essence of the prophetic. The only way we can guarantee truth is if we understand that the essence of the prophetic is Jesus Christ. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. And we need to understand that, and we need to realize that. If you don't build this witness of the word that God wants to build in you, in Jesus Christ, you won't be able to tell the truth. You won't be able to discern whether somebody is lying, or whether somebody is deceiving you, or somebody is just projecting falsehood into you. Just because somebody calls himself a prophet, or somebody calls himself a pastor, or somebody calls himself an evangelist, does not mean he is an instrument of God. You cannot by the flesh discern whether something is truth. You can only discern something is truth if you are able to pick it up in the witness and testimony of Jesus. So turn with me to Hebrews. You cannot intellectually discern truth. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. The word of righteousness is that realm of the word that is designed to enable you and me to do the right thing, to think right, to speak right, to behave right, to relate the right way, to function the right way. And it's built out of something called the word of righteousness. The word is designed fundamentally to make you and me do the right thing. So, through that word, verse 14 then says, but solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. These are your inward spiritual senses that are developed as the word of God is released into you as the word of righteousness. But the word of righteousness comes out of a reality of Jesus Christ. Of a reality of Jesus Christ. The word of righteousness is tied to the person of Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 23. You know, in all of our teachings on the Word, you will find that we go back and we visit the same scriptures, casting them in different scenarios so that you will understand that the scripture has got many faceted applications. So in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5, it reads, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I shall raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness." Notice the little clarification there that says our righteousness. The Lord our righteousness, Yahweh Sidkenu, comes to us as the branch of David. And the branch of David is a prophetic reference to Jesus, who is called the Son of David, prophetically. So we need to understand that the ability to function righteously comes only in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, which is why we keep on emphasizing week after week the necessity to build things in and of Jesus Christ, not simply think that you can practice a principle and you will get it right. You can't. You can only practice a principle, right, to the extent you can do it. Beyond that, you cannot go because you're not equipped for that. But if you are equipped in Jesus Christ, then you will become like him. And if you focus on Jesus Christ, the limitless potential of Jesus Christ is open to your life. And that's the key. Because you are called to be fashioned in his image. You are called to be built in his fullness. Let's turn to Romans. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to 30. "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God." God causes all things to work together for good. If God doesn't cause it, it ain't going to come. You can try as hard as you want, and you can persevere as hard as you want. You can pray until the cows come in, nothing will happen. If you're not expecting God to move, then nothing will happen. "For we know that God causes all things to work together," not some things, all things, "to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." What does it mean to love God? The fundamental reality of loving God is to respond to the message of the cross, to understand that your salvation comes from the cross. To love God is not a romantic notion, although it can be a romance. But fundamentally, it is not something of your emotions. It is something of your response. You love God when you respond to God. You love God when you see God as God. You love God when you respond to God, expecting him to do what you cannot do. You love God when you recognize him as God. Are you with me? So all of us have the potentials to love God. Yes, there are areas in our life or there are parts of our being that can be very obnoxious. You have it, I have it too. But fundamentally, God is asking us to be like David. He was not a perfect man, but he responded to God. And that's why prophetically the name David is called the well-beloved. We need to respond to God. We need to respond to the fact that God is the one who saves us. You need to respond to God because he is able to cause all things to come forth in your life for good. If you recognize that God loves you, you are loving God. Hello? If you recognize that God loves you, if you are willing to respond to the witness and testimony of Jesus through the cross, you are declaring that you love God. Now that may seem like a very small beginning, but it will grow. It will grow, it will captivate your heart, And one day you will respond to God on a conscious plane, on a subconscious plane, on an unconscious plane. It will become part and parcel of your free will. It'll be like breathing. You won't even think of it. But you will live in a total response to God. You'll never walk alone. And I'm not singing a song. Huh? You will never walk alone because you will walk with Emmanuel. And you will know that Emmanuel is real. And that's real. I mean, that's real. You will learn through Emmanuel. You will learn and you will walk and you will function through Emmanuel. God with us. All right, so listen to these words. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. You see, it is God's plan to conform you to the image of the Son. That's God's will. If you flow into that reality, that process of conforming you to the image of the Son will automatically take place. You don't have to figure out how it's going to be done. That's not your business. That's God the Father's business. But what He's saying is that He has predestined you to be conformed to the image of the Son. So if you respond to what the Son has done for you, the process of God saving you will automatically take place. It will take place on a conscious level. It will take place on a subconscious level. It will take place on an unconscious level. You don't have to pretend to be a holy moly. Holy molies very rarely know God, actually. They're more a pretense than real. Huh? God wants you to be real. If you have a problem with lust, He wants you to address that lust with Him. Not pretend that it doesn't exist. Yeah? If you have a character flaw and you have to deal with your pride, deal with your pride. Ask the Lord to mold you and shape you, and He's more than able to do that because it is His perfect will. All of His power is made available to conform you to the image of the Son. Therefore, it can be done. But do you want it? There will be a part of you that says yes and amen, and there will be a part of you that says no. I don't want it. I want to be myself. So deal with it. Tell the Lord that you have this part of you that doesn't want Him. Hello. Simple, straightforward, but bring it to the Lord. And He will know how to deal with that part of you. Don't try and figure out how to deal with it in your own strength. It won't happen in your own strength. It will happen in the strength and power of the Lord. Therefore, you must remember this. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. For whom He foreknew, verse 29, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Amen? Many brethren. We're not alone in this walk. And whom He predestined, these He also called. And whom He called, these He also justified. Listen to the words. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. We are meant to be the workmanship of God, but that workmanship of God is manifested in Christ Jesus. So Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says that you are the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. The prophetic essence is Christ Jesus. The prophetic essence is what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross. There is a complete work that God has manifested on the cross. We can't intellectually figure that out. But God says so, therefore it is so. God says so, therefore it is so. Let's turn to Colossians. Chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. For in Him, that is in Jesus Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. If you have a King James, Old King James Bible, it says, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in bodily form. Verse 10, and in Him you have been made complete. Notice the word made complete. We're talking the language of predestination. It is God's perfect will that you are made complete. And in Him you have been made complete. So you have to understand that in Him you have been made complete. That work has already been done. You have to receive it. You have to realize it. You have to express it. That's your job. So your job is to respond to the fact that that work has been completed. That completed work stands in the heart of the Father. That completed work, the Holy Spirit is charged with bringing forth in you and me in the fullness of Jesus Christ. Amen. And that completed work will always be demonstrated in what you say with your mouth and discover with your heart. You can always know at what level the Word of God has been manifested to you as you speak. So watch yourself. Watch what you say. It'll tell you volumes about yourself, and have the courage to address yourself before God. If you hate somebody who has done terrible things to you, you need to understand you have a problem. You need to overcome that problem, because otherwise your response to somebody else's evil will cripple you for life. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but you have to respond to God, that God can set you free. Because you must understand that your life does not depend on another human being, no matter who that human being is. Whether that human being is your parent, whether that human being is your spouse, whether that human being is your child, whether that human being is you, yourself. The scripture is telling that you live by your God, and you have to discover that. That is not something that comes readily to any one of us. But that's what Jesus is saying. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. That's what God wants to bring into you and complete in you, so that you will be able to live by God instead of yourself. And living by God is the real thing. You can't shut it out and think you're fine. All you have done is you've transferred the problem from a conscious level to an unconscious level. The problem hasn't gone away. And when you have a sudden burst of anger towards somebody else, you must understand where the root is coming from. It is coming from the person who has hurt you. And that root is real. And that root is destructive. That root is designed to kill you. That root is designed to steal from you all that God has for you. So the cross talks about a complete work. And you and I have to learn how to bring forth that work. John chapter 1 verse 16. My favorite scripture. For of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. That realization of grace and truth manifests in your mouth and in your heart. That is the reality of the Word. The Word is a living person. The essence of the prophetic is the fullness of Jesus Christ. If you are prophesying and you don't know whether you are saying the right thing or the wrong thing, it is because you are not anchored on Jesus Christ. If you and I are perfectly anchored on Jesus Christ, we will always know what we are saying, whether it's truth or whether it's falsehood. Having said that, you must understand that is a process. That is a reality into which you have to grow into, okay? We don't all have it. But you need to understand that if you grow in the Lord, you will have it. It is part of God's work in your life. We are a prophetic people called to minister to the nations. Everything in the nations is going to shake. And the shaking is going to get worse and worse and worse. It's not going to get better. That's why we did that teaching on judgment, so that you will understand that. So don't try and make a fool's paradise. So you need to build something out of the knowledge of Jesus Christ so that you can speak the right words into somebody else and get them out of darkness into His marvelous light. You have the capacity to speak the right words into a person's life, but you have to discover those words for yourself. So when we talk about the prophetic essence, we are talking about God making us instruments of the Lord. And as you deal with yourself, you are actually being prepared to become instruments of the Lord. And we are all called to be instruments of the Lord. You have to leave the past and get into the future that God has prepared for you. That's why we preach the Word of God, so that you will get into God's potentials in your life, so that you will get into the destiny that God has prepared for you in Jesus Christ. So this fullness of Jesus Christ is very easily tapped into. You just need to set your hope on Him. That when you respond to something, you respond to something by setting your hope on the Lord. And when you set your hope on the Lord, the potentials in your life and my life are humongous. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And that's what is important. So crucial that you understand that. So of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. And what has God designed this fullness to be? He has designed this fullness to create the church. So Ephesians chapter 1 verse 22 and 23, very familiar scriptures. Verse 22 and 23. Last line of verse 22. Let's read verse 22. And He put all things in subjection under His feet. The Father put all things in subjection under the feet of Jesus, and gave Jesus as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. The fullness of Him who fills all in all. So what is the church? The church is only the church when it's His body. And it's only His body when it is of His fullness. The church is not an organization run by the intellect of men and by the resources of mankind. It is not. The church is only the church when it is an expression of the fullness of Jesus Christ. And to the measure in which the fullness of Jesus Christ is allowed to be expressed in the church, to that extent we are the church of Jesus Christ. It's very important to understand this, because that verse 22 is talking about tremendous authority and power. And the intent of the prophetic is to bring the church into that reality of authority and power. Authority and power. All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28 verse 18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Matthew 28 verse 18. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." What does it mean, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? Immersing them into the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is not merely getting into water. We think we have achieved great things by putting people inside water. The question is whether those people are willing to be immersed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, not whether they can get into water. "Teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So what is the intent of the prophetic? To unveil that authority, to unveil that position of power that God has designed us to stand in as sons of God. Otherwise, we will keep on producing the mediocrity that we have been producing for the last 2,000 years, except for a short period in the first century, right? We have been in mediocrity for a long time. And we are very content with that mediocrity, because we are very content with exercising our own spheres of influence. And God wants us to exercise the sphere of influence that unveils in the name of Jesus, so that we will stand in an authority that is of God rather than of ourselves. An authority that is of God rather than the authority that is of organization. An authority that is demonstrated over sickness and disease. An authority that is demonstrated in the breaking of strongholds of darkness, in the transformation of the human soul, transformation of the human being, transformation of our own personalities, our characters, our natures. That we will have the mind of Christ, that we will think as a people of faith, that we will walk in the conviction that God is with us, that we will walk with the conviction that God the Almighty is able to overshadow us, that we will walk in the conviction that we are a chosen people, that we will walk in the conviction that God is the way, that we will walk in the conviction that God can make a way where there is no way. So important to understand this. This is the essence of the prophetic, bringing out the sons of God. That's why the prophetic is designed to edify, which is to build, to encourage, and to heal. Right? Because God is concerned with bringing out a people. He's not concerned with real estate. He's not interested in our balance sheets and how much of money we have in the bank. Those are all non-events to him. He's interested in his treasure, which is the human being. And why are we the treasure of God? Very simply because we have the capacity to receive and realize of the fullness of God. We have the capacity to receive and realize of the fullness of God. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 19 says that we are to be filled with all the fullness of God. That is our potential. That is what the completed work of the cross is pointing to. That is the great potential of the human being. That's why we spend time and effort in ministering. Because that is the potential of each and every one of us. To realize the fullness of God in our own being. In the Old Testament, God symbolized that by showing us tabernacles. The tabernacle of Moses, the tabernacle of David, the temple of Solomon. But the intent in the New Testament is to bring forth a people who are in a deep intimacy with God. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 16. Now these words were spoken when the temple of Solomon was consecrated. But God is speaking of something in very powerful terms. For now, verse 16, chapter 7. For now I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name may be there forever. That's why we are special. That's why we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Because we are fearfully and wonderfully made because it is the intent of the Father's heart to invest his name inside of us. And he invests his name inside of us through the name of Jesus. Are you with me? You see, moving in the prophetic is not just operating a gift. It is not just operating an anointing. Moving in the prophetic is to function in the name of the Lord your God. And we function in the name of the Lord our God as we learn how to function in the name of Jesus. This witness that God is talking about in your mouth and in your heart is designed to function in the name of Jesus. It is designed to give expression to the testimony and witness of Jesus Christ. And when it gives expression to the testimony and witness of Jesus Christ, the potential in your heart and the potential in your mouth and in your heart is the potential of manifesting all that stands in accordance with who God is and all that God is. That is powerful. That's why Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, it will be given to you. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it for you. I will do it for you. So it says, for now I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name may be there forever. That is the heart of what it's all about. That's the heart of why we are called fearfully and wonderfully made. That's the heart of what the gospel is designed to bring forth. And my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. What does that mean? That his eyes and his heart will be there perpetually. That we will be able to function in the reality of his eyes and his heart. God is omniscient. God is omnipresent. God is omnipotent. God is eternal. His eyes, that we will be able to see through his eyes. That we will be able to function with what's in his heart. And it will become part and parcel of our state of being. That's when we become sons of God. And you have that capacity to realize that in you. That is God's plan with you. It's got nothing to do with your status in life. It's got nothing to do with how educated you are. It's got nothing to do with the color of your skin and who your forefathers were and what caste you come from or whatever else. It's got nothing to do with that. It's got everything to do with the fact that God's chosen you. That God is able to make you. So the essence of the prophetic is this, that you build in the witness and testimony of Jesus on your insides. It's so crucial to do that. Because if you build things in the name of Jesus, you will automatically know what another person is saying. Because anything that is not in conformance with Jesus Christ will jar on your insides and you will know that guy is lying. Or that guy is deceiving me. He's just speaking nice words like a serpent. If you have a genuine love for Jesus and another person speaks, you will be able to discern immediately whether he loves the Lord or not. Immediately you will be able to tell. Is he just simply saying something? Or is he saying it by the Lord? God is love. Therefore, everything that flows from God is a living expression of love. If you are built in the love of God and somebody prophesies into you, is it of God or is it not of God? If it flows in the love of God, you know it is of God. Because God is love. If it flows in the light of God, you know it is of God because God is light. And he gives the light of life. When the prophetic word flows out of somebody's mouth, you will realize, is this bread that will feed me? Because Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Or is this just empty words that are just coming out? So somebody stands on a pulpit and speaks. Is he just simply wasting your time or is he bringing something that is of substance to you? Can you eat of those words that are coming out of his mouth or is he just simply going through the motions of pretending to be a servant of God? You must be able to tell. Somebody comes and he tells you something about himself, about his ministry. You must be able to judge whether this is of God or whether it's not. How do you tell if something is not of God? Very simple. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Are the intents of this person's heart really focused on glorifying the Lord, or is he there to glorify himself? Is he building his empire, or is he building the body of Christ? Some people like to be part of empires. But all empires will come to an end. There's only one kingdom that will stand, and it's the kingdom that is of God. The kingdom of God. The kingdom that belongs to God. The kingdom that comes out of God. The kingdom that is sustained by God. No other kingdom will stand the test of time. So if you want to build empire, good luck to you, lad. Because there will be no other altar that will be allowed to stand. There will be no altar allowed to stand. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 27, verse 1. In that day the Lord will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent. With his fierce and great and mighty sword, even Leviathan, the twisted serpent. And he will kill the dragon who lives in the sea. He's talking about Satan. As the serpent and the dragon. He refers to him as the fleeing serpent. He refers to him as the twisted serpent. He refers to him as the dragon who lives in the sea of humanity. And he says he will kill. He will kill him. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 2. Verse 12. Verse 11. The proud look of man will be abased, and the loftiness of man will be humbled, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. For the Lord of hosts will have a day of reckoning against everyone who is proud and lofty, and against everyone who is lifted up, that he may be abased. And it will be against all the cedars of Lebanon that are lofty and lifted up, against all the oaks of Bashan, against all the lofty mountains, against all the hills that are lifted up, against every high tower, against every fortified wall. Verse 17, and the pride of man will be humbled, and the loftiness of man will be abased, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. Verse 18, the idols will completely vanish. Verse 19, before the terror of the Lord and before the splendor of his majesty, when he arises to make the earth tremble, in that day men will cast away to the moles and the bats their idols of silver and their idols of gold. So build in the name of the Lord, because that is the only solution. Verse 2. Now it will come about that in the last days the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains. Man has got many mountains built to his own greatness. And amongst all of those high mountains built to man's greatness, to his monuments, to his own glory, the mount of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains and will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. That's what we are called to build, because this will come forth. That's why we have to build in the name of Jesus. That's why we have to build by the Holy Spirit. That's why we have to build in the will of our Father. Because this will come about. This is the will of the Lord. It will come about. And many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, that we may walk in his paths. For the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. What is the access to the mount of the Lord? Your heart and my heart. Hello. What is the access to the mount of the Lord? Your heart and my heart. How do your heart and my heart open that access to the mount of the Lord to another human being? If we speak forth those words that will open the gate to the mount of the Lord into that human being's heart. That's why the prophetic word is so crucial. If I come to you and I speak from a doctrinal perspective or a theological perspective, and all that I say to you is doctrinally correct and theologically correct, it doesn't mean a blooming thing. If what I speak to you is not of the Spirit and life of Jesus. Do you understand? It is your responsibility to find out that you are receiving word that is of the Spirit and life of Jesus. Because there will be consequences to your life, to the life of your family, if you can't find an access to the mount of the Lord. You are responsible to make sure that you are receiving truth. The truth will set you free. That which sets you free. That which sets you free from sin. That which sets you free from the yokes of fear. That which sets you free from the yokes of pride. That which sets you free from the yokes of rebellion. That which sets you free from the yoke of lust. That which sets you free from the yoke of anger and bitterness and unforgiveness. Those are all testaments to truth being realized. So all of us sitting here know whether we are hearing truth or we are not hearing truth. The great tragedy of man is that we still want to respond to man. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 22. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 22. Stop regarding man whose breath of life is in his nostrils. For why should he be esteemed? Why should any man be esteemed? That you treat him as if your life depends on him. He can't even keep his life. How can he keep your life? Common sense, guys. Common sense. And so the Lord is talking to us. He's talking to us in very clear terms. That the prophetic word has to flow forth in the name of Jesus. We are called to be a prophetic people. When we worship God, when we pray, people must come into the mount of the Lord. For my house is a house of prayer, says the Lord. And when you come into the house of the Lord, you are open to His name. When you come into the house of the Lord, you are open to His eyes. When you come into the house of the Lord, you are open to His heart. When you are in the house of the Lord, you know it. You must be able to know it. You must be able to tell the difference for your own good. You have children who are going to live in a time never seen in history before. What is your guarantee for your child's future? Your bank account? Don't be foolish. Only a place in the mount of the Lord will guarantee that. That child has a future. And you need to ensure that as a parent. You need to ensure that as a parent. But if you are not in the mount of the Lord, how can you ensure that for your child? If you don't live your life by the Lord, how are you going to ensure that for your own child? Verse 26 of Isaiah. Verse 1. Second line. We have a strong city. We're not talking about a city of concrete and steel. We have a strong city. He sets up walls and ramparts for security. The person who sets this up is God Himself. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter. This city is big enough to take a whole nation. The one that remains faithful, the steadfast of mind, thou wilt keep in perfect peace because he trusts in thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord, in God the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. For he has brought low those who dwell on high, the unassailable city. He lays it low, he lays it low to the ground, he casts it to the dust. Listen. Verse 6, chapter 25. And the Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all peoples on this mountain. He's not talking about a natural mountain. He's talking about a mountain that is the mount of the Lord. Zion is called the mount of the Lord, the city on a hill. Jesus spoke of that city on the hill. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 from verse 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? How does the salt become tasteless. When the salt cannot taste and see that God is good, that salt has become useless. Hello. When that salt in your heart cannot taste and see that God is good, that salt has become tasteless. And he says, it is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. And every time your life is trampled underfoot by men, it is because you cannot taste and see that the Lord your God is good. Brethren, we have all gone through it. I hope you are not still going through with it and explaining it away. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under the peck measure, but on the lampstand. The lampstand stands prophetically for the church. We are all called to shine with the light of the Lord. And it gives light to all who are in the house. So we are in the house of the Lord. I'm not talking about this place. I'm talking first of your being. You are the house of God. Wherever we get together, that house of God is expanded. Because we are each a house of the Lord. And when we come together as a community of believers, and if the witness in us is the witness of Jesus Christ, we become a bigger house. And the power available to a bigger house is that much greater. We are built to stand in community. We are built not to stand individualistically. We are called to stand as a church. We are called to unveil what God has purposed in each one of our lives. Verse 16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. The true prophetic word will glorify the Father. And the word that glorifies the Father is always of the Son. If you don't see the Son, and if you don't reveal things that are of the Son, you cannot show somebody else the Father, because Jesus said, nobody comes to the Father except by me. If you and I don't reveal the Son from what we say in our words, if our heart is not built on the knowledge of the Son, everything we say is just mere human words. It's a human sham. Nobody is going to live by words like that. Even if you quote chapter and scripture from the Bible. It is the testimony of Jesus that is the spirit of prophecy. Jesus said, I am the life. He told the Jews this. Right, turn with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5 verse 39. He says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is these that bear witness of me. And you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life. And the same thing is happening in the Christian church. We search the scriptures. We study Greek and Hebrew. We don't proclaim Jesus Christ. We proclaim the principle. The principle has become a substitute. So the Pharisee proclaimed the law. The law was a substitute for God. What were they doing? They were preventing the people of God from coming alive to God. They were putting the law as a substitute for God. The law was never meant to be a substitute for God. The same thing has happened in the church. We've got all kinds of rules and regulations. We've got all kinds of organizational setups, all kinds of objectives, all kinds of corporate goals that have got nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is blatant falsehood. It is nothing more, nothing less. It is a perversion of the truth. We quote scripture and Jesus is not revealed. That is falsehood. Because my Lord said that he is the truth. Your Lord said that he is the truth. And if he is not revealed, there is no truth. Just because we have a gifting, just because we have an anointing, just because we are called pastors and prophets and whatever else, doesn't mean that God is being proclaimed. The prophetic essence has to be of Jesus Christ. If we run the church on rules and regulations instead of the love of Jesus, instead of the grace of God, we will be a dead place, a place for dead men's bones. We will be whited sepulchres. We will be purveyors of death and destruction. We will kill people. The same words that Jesus Christ used on the Pharisees will be perfectly applicable to us too. So be careful which city you live in, which mountain you ascend. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. What are these fortresses? Verse 5, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. Every concept, every intellectual concept that stands against the knowledge of God is being developed into a mountain of reality. Whether it's the mountain of materialism, whether it's the mountain of technology, whether it's the mountain of humanism, whether it's the mountain of idolatry, they're all different mountains arrayed against the knowledge of God. Every high thing raised against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, but that must first take place inside of us. If it does not take place inside of us and Christ is not reigning king inside of us, then we are captive to those same high places built to Baal. No different. And we are ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is complete. What is he saying here? You can only punish these mountains of disobedience if you yourself are obedient first. Obedience comes out of the spirit and life of Jesus. You can't bring it out of yourself. We are disobedient people by nature and character. Hello. Watch your child grow up and you will understand that. We are all disobedient. The only person who was obedient was Jesus Christ. If you don't cultivate the testimony of Jesus inside of you, if you don't receive the word of God in the spirit and life of Jesus, you won't change because you can't change. You and I need to be saved, and you can be saved only in the name of Jesus. You can't be saved no matter how hard you try. No matter how many hours you spend reading the Bible, if you don't make Jesus Christ alive to your heart through the scriptures, those scriptures are just words in a book. They are not going to change anybody's life because you are quoting scripture. And it's so easy to quote scripture without communicating Jesus Christ. It is so easy to quote scripture without communicating in the spirit and life of Jesus. Man will not live that way. It is a pretense. It's a religious pretense. And religious pretenses will kill. The history of Israel demonstrates that to us. The same thing is happening in the Gentile church. So many of our brethren are just trapped in all kinds of deception. And just because somebody reads out of the scripture, they think they are growing. Some people don't even bother to read the scripture anymore. Jesus said, I am the truth. Jesus is the word of God. If we are judged by the law, we will die under the law, brother. How else? The prophetic word has to come out in the witness and testimony of Jesus. If it does not, we are not prophesying life into anybody. Now you can preach prophetically, you can counsel prophetically, you can prophesy, you can speak as a prophet of God, you can teach the gospel prophetically. The prophetic word is the word that God activates in the spirit and life of Jesus. The prophetic word is the word that is entirely communicated by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of our Father. The prophetic word is the word that communicates in the testimony of Jesus. The prophetic word gives life. The prophetic word transforms human beings. If you are receiving the prophetic word, you will change. And that is the only criteria to understand whether you are flowing in God or not. If you have become part of the furniture in church, you are not growing, brother, because God never made you a chair. God wants you to be seated in heavenly places with Christ, far above every principality, power, might, and dominion. You are a chosen instrument of God. Do you want to be one? If you want to be one, then understand fundamentally it is God who makes you one. So shred out, get rid of all of those religious ideas about how hard you must try. So many people don't want to come to Christ because we have preached the law. God is able to change you. God is able to transform your ideas of what is right and wrong. God is able to be the God of the impossible. The rich young man came to the Lord and said, what must I do to have eternal life? So Jesus took him to the law. And the young man very blithely said, I observed this law from childhood. So Jesus said, go and sell everything and come follow me. Why did he say that? Because the young man said he observed the law. And the law declared that you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Since you love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, go and sell everything and come follow me. Fair enough request, isn't it? Sure. What is he trying to do? He's trying to open that young man to his deception. His deception based on he was comparing himself with the next guy. And because he was much better than the next guy, he thought he was justified before God. So God said, go and sell everything and come follow me. So when the young man walked away dejectedly, the disciples turned to Jesus and said, if this is the criteria for the kingdom of God, who the dickens is going to come in, Lord? And Jesus said, with man it is impossible. But with God all things are possible. The Christian faith is manifested in the power of God. If you are not being transformed by God, you have not yet met Jesus Christ. You may be born again, but you have not allowed Jesus Christ to do his work in your life. And you need to change. It's very easy to change. All you need to do is to ask and to seek and to knock. Very simple words. I am the door. If you ask, the door will be opened for you. And Jesus said, all who ask will receive. Just make sure you ask for the right thing. But the problem with us is that the love of money is the root of all evil. Oh God, give me a bigger house, give me a bigger car. Never mind that I'm dying, but just give me a bigger house so that I'll have a big corpse. I mean, I can put my corpse in a big house and send it. So when will we change? When will we think right? If God does not change us in our character and our nature, what else is there? Hmm? When we go before God and our first thought is the state of our bank account, how on earth is God ever going to touch your life? Don't get me wrong. If you're a baby Christian, God will touch you in many ways. But as a maturing Christian, and you still keep talking about your bank account, God is not going to respond to that. Because your life does not depend on your bank account. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Behold, the kingdom of God is within you. It's very easy to source the kingdom of God. Set your hope on Jesus Christ, and your soul is anchored behind the veil at the speed of thought. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. If you set your hope on Jesus Christ, you will be purified even as He is pure. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. God has given you grace upon grace. The impossible is readily possible for all of us. But we must persevere with it. And that perseverance begins with hope. For you to respond to the love of God. Why don't you want to respond to the love of God? When you bring up your kids, respond to the love of God. Respond to the truth. When you pray things over their life, respond to the kingdom of God. Respond to the Lord Jesus Christ. Respond to the word of God. Respond to the blessings of God. Respond to making that person, that young kid, a vessel of the Lord. Because everything of the flesh will perish. You know that experientially. Haven't you watched your parents die? Haven't you watched your uncles and aunts pass away? Haven't you watched how they lived their lives and how they lived their lives as they grew older? Didn't you recognize the emptiness and the uselessness of their lives? Why are you repeating the same blooming thing and you want to bequeath it to your kids too because you love them so much? What kind of love is this? What is this prosperity Christianity that is a total bankruptcy of the human soul? The prophetic word, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Think about it. If you think about it carefully, you will find that there are many things in your life and my life that stand in opposition to the name of Jesus. Take it to the Lord and say, Lord, these are the things that stand in opposition to your name. I can't deal with them, but nothing is impossible with you. Please deal with them. And He is more than able to deal with them. You can even ask Him to be gentle with you. And He will deal with it. But keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on what God has given you in His word. Don't shake from that. Only the word of God stands forever, brethren. That is a fact. Shall we pray? Father, we pray that you will build the word that is in our mouth and in our heart, in the true, full, and perfected knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the word that is in our mouth and in our heart will be the testimony of Jesus. It will be part and parcel of the true and faithful witness, the beginning of the creation of God. It will be the amen of your will, manifested in us in the merits of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. O God, we don't stand before you because of our righteousnesses. We stand before you in your righteousness manifested to us in the finished work of the cross, manifested to us in the name of Jesus, manifested to us in the witness and testimony of Jesus, manifested to us through the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. And in the finished work of the cross, nothing is impossible to us. It will take time, but surely it will come forth, because it is your oath that saves us, O God. Father, save us by who you are and by all that you are. Transform our thought processes. Get us out of the corruption of human thoughts, human mediocrity, human crookedness, human pride and arrogance, human rebellion, human lust, O God, human anger and bitterness, human fear, O God. Deliver us from every evil. Deliver us, O God, from every snare of the evil one, Father. Release us from every stronghold of the enemy. Release us from the strongholds of the high mountains of speculations and every kind of lofty thought that is against you, Father, against your Son, against the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Demolish the mountains of religion, O God, that reign in our lives, and bring us forth in the true, full, and perfected knowledge of Jesus Christ. Enable us to fall in love with the Master who is to be our husband, O God. Enable us, O God, to stand before you in heart circumcised by the Holy Spirit. Deliver us from our own fleshly ways, and bring us forth in your righteousness, that we will be your creation in Jesus Christ. Remove from us that root that is the love of money, Lord, and manifest in us the root of David that seeks to love you, Lord. Enable us, O God, to realize the truth that will set us free. We ask this, we pray this, Father, in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. We will celebrate communion. Luke chapter 22. Not Luke chapter 22. Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Thy words were found, and I ate them. This is the bread that we partake of in Holy Communion. The words of the Lord, the prophetic word, the word that is the Rhema of God, the word that is spoken from the heart of God, the word that comes to us in the testimony of Jesus, the word that is communicated by the Holy Spirit. Thy words were found and I ate them, and thy words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart. Listen to the words, guys. The joy and delight of my heart. It is God's intention to open his word to us in such a manner that it will become the joy and delight of our heart. All of us need joy, isn't it? All of us need delight in our heart, because there's so much of sadness that is around us. So much of fear. So much of anger and bitterness. But if you don't eat the word of God, this delight and this joy cannot manifest to you. For I have been called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts, the God who reigns over the hosts of the heavens and the earth, the God who is absolutely sovereign over every being. By his name you have been called forth from out of darkness into his marvelous light. Eat of the bread that will give you life. Eat of the word that is communicated to you in the testimony of Jesus. Eat of the word that will communicate to you in the spirit and life of Jesus, in the faith and love of Jesus. If you eat of what is of Jesus, you will be like him. Even as we are a product of what we eat, isn't it, in the natural fleshly sense? Eat right, and your body will be built right. Eat wrong, and your body will be a mass of protoplasm, right? Rotting, decaying protoplasm, right? That's an imperfect example of what we are talking about. So eat of the bread of life. Eat of the word that will give you life. Eat of the word that is expressed in the testimony of Jesus, and you will live. If you eat of this bread, then you can communicate this bread into the lives of your children. If you don't eat of the bread, how can you communicate life into the lives of that of your children? How can you pray the right words over them? Do you know that prayer can give them a covering over centuries into the future? Do you know that we're all sitting here because of a promise God gave a man in the middle of the desert called Abraham? So God has given you word today, guaranteed in the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of promise. He indwells you. So eat of the bread of life so that you can speak that life over the nations. That's why the Bible writes that one day nations will walk in the light of our rising. Because this bread that we eat is of the light of God. Second Peter chapter 1 verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. Your hearts are so important because that's where God is sowing his word. And he says if you watch over that word, it will manifest light. And that light is so powerful that it has the potentials of becoming a morning star. A living ball of fire. Patterned on our own sun, in a carnal sense, but far greater than the sun that enlightens our planet. It's not hard. All he's saying is if you watch over that word, it'll grow in you. If you allow that word to become more and more light inside of you, you will grow. It's not hard to grow. Jesus said in John chapter 8 verse 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will have the light of life. So the prophetic word is designed to manifest the light of life. The light of life comes out from God. James chapter 1 verse 17, every good thing bestowed, every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. Because God is called the Father of lights, we are lights. And every good thing bestowed, every perfect gift comes in light form. It is in the prophetic word. And Jesus is the morning star, bright morning star. It's not hard. So as we partake of Holy Communion, let's understand clearly today as we partake of Holy Communion, and nothing will be impossible to you. Nothing will be impossible to you. That is the word of the Lord to you today. And nothing shall be impossible to you. You know that it's scriptural. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 17. Verse 20. Words of Jesus Christ. Second half of that verse. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible to you. And nothing shall be impossible to you. So nothing shall be impossible to you. Don't bring human impossibility before God, because it does not exist to God. God wants you to understand that in God nothing is impossible, but only in God. If you lose sight of God, then that reality of nothing is impossible does not exist. Without God, everything is impossible. You may kid yourself that you're doing well, but eventually you will die, and whatever you did well in will also die. If not in your lifetime, certainly after your lifetime. History speaks clearly. So as we partake of Holy Communion today, God is saying today, and nothing shall be impossible to you. So turn to the Lord and respond to Him. For nothing is impossible with Him. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you, O God, that in your prophetic word, all things are possible. Because your prophetic word carries your light. And your light is the light of life. And that light of life you have bequeathed to us in the witness and testimony of Jesus. That light of life is able to enlighten us. It is able to transfigure us. It is able to transform us, Lord. And that light of life, O God, is a creative life force, Father. It manifests into us every good thing, best stored and every perfect gift. Nothing has been withheld from us. Nothing good has been withheld from any one of us, Lord. We need to respond to your light, and that light will grow in us, Lord. So teach us to respond to you by setting our hope on you. Teach us to respond to your love by responding to you, Father, in what you have given us through the finished work of the cross. So we celebrate this Holy Communion in the finished work of the cross. And the finished work of the cross proclaims to us clearly that nothing shall be impossible to us. We are sons of God, called forth by the power and excellence of the Most High God, called forth in the fullness of Jesus Christ, called forth and implemented, O God, through the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, Father, bless and sanctify, we pray, these elements of bread and wine, that by your Spirit, Lord, they will be manifested to us in the fullness of Jesus Christ as an unveiling of the prophetic word in substance and in witness, that the substance will be of him, the bread of the holy, the bread of the most holy, and the witness will be of the true and faithful witness described in spirit, water, and blood, Father, that witness of the cross that is invested with resurrection power to make all things possible to us as we pursue, O God, the face of Jesus Christ. So bless us, O God, and enable us to become a blessing as the church across the world and the church in the heavenly places, both Jew and Gentile. To you alone do we give glory and honor, worship and praise. For all this, O God, is your workmanship in our lives. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. By your name, we ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for the cup that carries a witness in spirit, water, and blood. The witness of the cross poured out for us so that we will come alive to the fact that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. This witness is also called the true and faithful witness, the amen of your will, the beginning of the creation of God. We thank you that as this witness is made alive in us by the Holy Spirit, we are a new creation in the unveiling. We thank you for what you are doing. We thank you for what you are accomplishing with us. Create in us a clean heart. Create in us, O God, the seeing eye and the hearing ear. Create in us a free will that will respond to you perfectly, Lord. We pray that you will make us in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ so that we will be able to bless you, Father, with our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Sri Lanka, Father, we pray that you will bless this tithe so that it will go into the lives of children who will stand as a witness and a testimony to your grace and your mercy, Lord. We pray that they will be expressed in your righteousness and they will be brought forth as a living tithe unto you, Father. Sons who belong to you. Sons who will stand able to handle your authority and your power in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Sons both male and female, Lord. Called, O God, to stand, O God, in the light of your glory. We pray that we will be part of such an expression as we sow our tithes into the Church of Jesus Christ in different parts of the world through different aspects of our ministry. Oh God, we want so much to build the Church of Jesus Christ. We pray that we will truly be a church without walls, that we will be a church that will continuously plant good things so that the body of Christ will grow to your glory and your majesty, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We bless you and thank you for your holy word. We bless you and thank you for your Spirit's work in our hearts. We thank you for what you have planted in us. We thank you for what you have done in our inward parts. And we pray, Lord, that you will make us a blessing so that we will bless you with our lives. We pray this, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the blessings of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon you, remain in you, grow in you. May you, in the intimacy of the Holy Spirit, receive and realize the treasures of the fullness of Christ Jesus, that you will be a prophetic people, able to stand before the Father, holy and blameless, in the righteousness of the living God. May you, in the sprinkled blood of the Lamb, be a blessing by the Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.